Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Kuf Yud Amud Aleph, three lines down. V'ha pligi b'achad ha-zimna. The Gemara here says that the way that we've established the machlok between Rav and Shmuel, we've seen them argue on this premise before. The argument at this point, what we've established in this machlok between Rav and Shmuel, is that this is a case where they were kiddushin when she was a ktana, and then after she became a gdola, they had biyah. Now the question is, does that biyah consummate the marriage? Rav says, of course. If he has biyah with her after she's a gdola, for sure we have a full-fledged marriage over here. There's nothing to speak about. She's done. On the other hand, Shmuel introduced us to the possibility that even after biyah, when she's a gdola, she still would not be married. And that is because of the premise of the nisuin or the biyah at that point. Rav says, everybody knows that basically kedushei ketana are nothing. And therefore, when they have biyah, when she's a gdola, they do it in such a manner that the biyah acts as the kiddushin, as well as the nisuin. On the other hand, Shmuel says that they rely on the kiddushin rishonim. When they have the biyah is established or premised on the original kiddushin. The original kiddushin were nothing. But they're not creating new kiddushin. They're relying on the original kiddushin. And therefore, the biyah here is not a biyah of kiddushin. It's simply a biyah premised on the original kiddushin, which have no basis, really. And because of that, nothing has happened. They basically had a biyah tznut. They did not have kiddushin over here. So that's the position of Shmuel. Therefore, when she went out and got kiddushin from another individual, according to Rav, it was meaningless because she was already married. According to Shmuel, she has a problem. She needs a get from the other individual because her first kiddushin were not really kiddushin. She never really consummated that marriage. Now the Gemara says about that pligi b'achad ha-zimna. They already argued about this issue. Ditmar kicha al tanai. He had kiddushin with her, but within the kiddushin were certain conditions that needed to be fulfilled in order to close the kiddushin. So the kiddushin were given, but there were certain tanaim that were left open that needed to be dealt with. And once they were dealt with, that would make the kiddushin effective. V'kansastam. But afterwards, before any of those issues are closed or dealt with, he goes ahead and he has nisuin with her. And when he has nisuin with her, nothing is said at that moment. So kiddushin with all these conditions. Nisuin without any mention of these conditions. Rav amar, tzricha imena get. Rav says, that's a full-fledged marriage. Done. Shmuel amar, ein tzricha imena get. Shmuel says, she doesn't need a get from him. For the same reason. Rav says, okay, the first kiddushin were not effective because they had tanaim in them. They had conditions, residual issues that had to be dealt with. And therefore, the kiddushin were not complete. Now he has bi'ah. He knew the kiddushin were not complete. So when he has bi'ah here, he's gomer bidato that this is it. I am mukhel on all those residual conditions, and I'm getting married to this woman. Most likely because of what we call chibat bi'ah. The intimacy, the nature or power of biyah is such that the person will waive all of his residual rights that he left over in the kiddushin. He says, I'm fully married. But according to Rav, the nisuin is done knowing that the kiddushin was not an effective kiddushin, and therefore the biyah makes up for everything. Shmuel, on the other hand, says, the biyah is premised on the original kiddushin. Just like the original kiddushin had tanaim left in it, so did this biyah also have these tanaim in them, and therefore there's no completion of the marriage yet. We have no consummation of the marriage until the conditions are met. Once the conditions are met, then maybe we could talk about it. But until then, there is no completion and consummation of the marriage, even with biyah. Now, truthfully, the Gemara here says that these are same case, that they're totally different. One case was talking about a tana that had biyah afterwards, and one's talking about a case where you have tanaim, conditions built into the kiddushin, and then you had biyah later. And you can create a tzrichuta, which the Gemara will do in a second, why you need both cases. So Tosafot says the Gemara's basic question is, they could have combined them. They could have said in one breath that Rav's position is, Rav could have said, if you have a kiddushin tana, and then they have biyah when she gets older. Or, you have kiddushin with the tanai in them, and then they have biyah. And then you could have said the same halacha. I mean that even though you could create a differential between the positions that are mentioned here or why they mentioned them, but you could have combined them. So just from the law of conservation of words, The Gemara wants to know why they didn't just simply have their machloket in one shot. They could have just done it simply and it said both cases, and aloch is the same in both cases. So Rav Amar Tzrichai Men a get. Rav says she needs a get here. Kaven Denasba Achule Achle Ditnae. Since he married her, since he had biyah, since he consummated over here, he waives all conditions that were residual in the kiddushin. Shmuel Amar Ena Tzrichai Men a get. Kol Boel Adad Kiddushim Arishonim Hu Boel. Same concept again, that the biyah here is premised on the original kiddushin, and just like the original kiddushin were not complete, so too this biyah is not going to complete what wasn't done yet in the kiddushin. Mar says tricha, we need both of these cases. De'i itmar beha, because if we had in this case, or itmar bahi, bahi kamar rab mishum de'ika tna'a, because in this case there's a tna'i in there. Became in Dabal Achle Litanae. But since he had Biyah, he waived the Tanaim, or he got rid of the Tanaim because of the Chibata Biyah. Aval Baha Imemodale Lishmuel. But in the case by the Tana, over there, maybe he agrees with Shmuel that it's still premised on the original Kiddushin. Because there he didn't leave any residual, he married her fully. Now it might be that the Kiddushin was with the Tana, so it doesn't have as much effectiveness, but he was definitely thinking about that Kiddushin. Because there's no reason for him to discard those kiddushin. V'i itmar baha. If we only had this case here by the Tanai case, b'hach kamar Shmuel. That's where Shmuel says that the biyah is not effective. Avo b'hach, ima modile the Rav. But in the other instance, let's say that he agrees with Rav by the kiddushin ktana, that everybody knows that kiddushin ktana are not effective. And therefore, when he has the biyah, of course, the biyah is for kiddushin as well, because he knows whatever he did in the beginning was only midrabanan, or was really ineffective, because kiddushin ktana are not anything, and then tzricha. Therefore, you have a tzrichuta between the two items. And then Rashi, if you can see in the Bach, has a slightly different girsa, seemingly, based on the way that he's explaining it. The Bach just says it goes in the opposite direction. But either way, you can create a tzrichuta over here between the two cases as to why you could separate the din and say the din is true by one and not true by the other. And even Rav or Shmuel could agree in one case and not the other. Now, we had said until now, and the general assumption we've had is that nisuin overrides. Once there's biyah, it overrides kiddushin the gamre. Shmuel is clearly the exception to that position, and he says otherwise. That is why, if you remember, we were speaking about, there was the Gemara that began, Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. And in that Gemara, on Daf Kuf Zayin, it says, my time of debate Shammai, Lefish Kain Tanai B'Nisuin. There is no conditions that can be left in Nisuin. Tosafot, the Rishonim, all ask over there, what do you mean? Shmuel says, there is Tanai in Nisuin. You can't have that left over. So most of them changed the Girsa back in Kuf Zayin Amar Aleph, right after the Mishnah, to Amar of Yehuda, Amar Rav. Because Shmuel disagrees. That principle that we thought was ironclad, that every time you have Nisuin, it overrides the Kiddushin. Here we have Shmuel who has the position. That's just not true. That's not the case. You can have the Tanai survive the Nisuin. And so because of that, the Rishonim want to change the Girsa in the beginning of the parak on Kuf Zayin, because how could Shmuel make that statement when he doesn't hold like that? So some suggested, we said over there, that they're only saying that in Beit Shammai, not in Beit Hillel. But Tosafot on the spot proves that they also think the same thing in Beit Hillel, and therefore would present the problem for Shmuel's opinion. Okay. Umi Amar Rav. Did Rav really say, Ki baal in ilo baal lo? Did Rav really say that until they have a consummation of this marriage, once she is of age, then it's a good marriage? Without biyah, no marriage. Vahahai uvdo, dahava binarsh. There was this incident that took place in this location. Vigdisha keshik tana. He had kiddushin with her when she was a minor. Vigadla. And then she grew up. Vaotve abe kursaya. And they put her out on the couch on the throne. It's the equivalent of the apirion that we saw again at the beginning of the perek, where they're taking her out in this fancy rickshaw type of throne, which was an indication that she was on her way to the chuppah, being taken to the wedding. So by definition, if she's being taken to the wedding, they have yet to have bi'ah over here. V'hat achrina. And then another guy showed up, v'chatfa minei. And he swiped her. He offered her kiddushin. He got married to her on the way. On the way, on the throne, she gets married to this guy. Rabruna, v'rav chananel, tamide d'rav havohatam. You have two Talmidim of Rav that were present. And they didn't require a get from the second individual. Well, no bia over here, which means that the first marriage was never completed. First marriage is not completed, then the second marriage should be effective. If it's effective, you require a get. How come they don't require a get over here? No bia, and they still didn't require a get. In Arsh, the practice or the custom was a little different. The husbands wanted to make sure that they got their money's worth. Therefore, they didn't send the throne for the woman before the wedding. They only did it after the wedding. They noticed that there were too many problems with the women on their way to the wedding and the throne, so they made sure to do it after. Only after the marriage was consummated, then she got carried in this throne, partly to indicate that this woman was now married, to make it a public issue that there was a wedding going on and to celebrate. So that only happened afterwards. So there's a possibility here that there was bia already because the marriage was consummated at this point. She's been taken out after the chuppah, after the nisuin, not prior to the nisuin. Rav Ashi amar, hu asa shelo kehogen, lefikach asubo shelo kehogen. He acted inappropriately. Therefore, the chachamim treated him inappropriately. So what was the item, or what was the thing that he did that was inappropriate? Rabbanan amre, dechotef isha mibala, no neu kiddushin. So Rashi claims that the Rabbanan had some sort of institution that if you swipe a woman who is already married, then the Rabbanan step in and prevent your kiddushin from going through. Obviously, it has to be a case where the marriage is not a real marriage, because otherwise, it's swiping the woman wouldn't matter. It has to be a case where you're talking about the Kiddushin Derabanan, the Kiddushin Tana. The Chamim stepped in that place to ensure that their Takana had Tokef to it. And not just say, oh, Kiddushin Tana, Derabanan, okay, the guy comes in, swipes the girl, and everything's fine. So that's what Rashi says. Rashi says that this guy tried to stick himself in when there was Kiddushin Tana, and it was inappropriate, and because of that, the Chamim were Mafkia Kiddushin. The Rishonim, including the Ramban, suggest over here, where do we ever find such a Gzerat Chachamim? That you can't swipe a woman. Meantime, they bring a slew of examples where a guy does swipe the woman and it's no problem at all, and the Chachamim are not Mafkia the Kiddushin. Therefore, many of them explain that the Chatifa over here involves a little more than just simply offering Kiddushin, but more along the lines of kidnapping, which is that he swiped the girl, not that he just offered her Kiddushin. He took the girl with him. Yeah, he physically, in a sense, kidnapped her and then offered her kiddushin. The Ritva has a little nuance on that, which is, probably makes a little more sense, was he took her without her consent, but then, after some time, she agrees to marry him. So similar to maybe the case of Dina in Shechem, where originally Shechem took her, and then eventually Dina is just willing to stay with Shechem because the act was already perpetrated, and he had convinced her to marry him at that point in time, and goes out to get the permission of the brothers and the father. So maybe a similar type of thing over here, where she was taken against her will, but after a certain point, she agrees to be married to this guy, and therefore you have a consensual marriage. But that's what it means here, shelo kehogen, that he acted inappropriately over here, and that's why the Chachamim stepped in to block the second marriage. It says, then, vafkinu rabbanan likidushe minei. The Rabbanan eliminated his kiddushim, the kiddushim of the second individual. Similarly, Ravina the Ravashi, tinach the kaddish bekaspa. That works well for the one who uses kiddushim by kesef. So that we can do. Kaddish bebia mai. So what are you going to do about the case if he did kiddushim through bia? I say, shavu Rabbanan bilato biladznut. The Chamim took away his effectiveness with regards to the bia. And made it into a biat znut, so the biat does not consummate a marriage over here. So now, what's interesting in this case is if you look in Rashi, Rashi over here brings two different reasons. He says in the first case, v'haf kinu the kiddushin minei, says, didn't the Rabbanan take away his power of kiddushin over here? But he says, the chod mekadesh tole b'dat chachamimu. Anybody who has kiddushin does it on the premise of the position of the Chachamim, because he says, the Hakadat Moshe of Israel Kamrinan. You have that little piece that you say after, Hariat Mikudeshet Li, Kedat Moshe of Israel. Kedat Moshe of Israel is not just the way that Moshe and Israel do it, but also empowering the Chachamim to unwind the Kiddushim if they so choose. That's how Rashi explains it. The next Rashi says, Tinach de Kaddish b'kaspo, the Hefker Beit Din Haya Hefker. That the vehicle they're using over here is Hefker Beit Din Hefker. Now, Rashi is bringing two different vehicles over here. You could argue that they're independent of each other. That even without Kedat Moshe of Israel, Hefker Beit Din Hefker applies. The Chamim were empowered in monetary matters to take away your ownership of the money, your ownership of the item. So they could eliminate the Kiddushin even without Kedat Moshe of Israel just by Hefker Beit Din Hefker. On the other hand, without Hefker Beit Din Hefker, they could eliminate it because of Kedat Moshe v'Israel. Why Rashi brings both reasons? It might be true that both are true, but Rashi brings both reasons, even though each one of them by themselves should suffice. And if you look in Tosafot, Tosafot says, L'fikach asulo shelo gehogen v'afkino gdushe minei. Misveka the Ri. The Ri doesn't know. E tama d'afkino mishom d'cho mekadesh adaita d'rabbana mekadesh. What is the reason over here that this works? Is that because all kiddushin are premised on the word of the Chachamim? Oh, mishum sheyesh koach b'yad chamim l'kor davar min haTorah. The chamim have ability to change something min haTorah. I mean, they have the ability to hefker beit din hefker, to take away your ownership over this item and therefore make your action ineffective. Midlo hizker kan kamosh yizker b'chol makom. T'chol mekadesh adai to the rabban and mekadesh. Because that statement or that phrase is missing over here. So here the Gemara just says that afkur rabban and the kiddushe, they took it away. How did they take it away? Everywhere else in Shas, when it says afkur rabban and the kiddushe, it says ki it's because kol mikadesh adaita der rabban and mikadesh. Now it seems like there it still sounds like it's a tznai kedat Moshe Yisrael, not hefker beit din haya hefker. Even though Rashi and other places always mention this issue of hefker beit din hefker. The reason might be is because of the nature of the next question of the Gemara, which is what about biyah? If it's done al tznai, then you could say that the biyah is blocked by the tznai because the chamim are empowered to block the kiddushin. Because you said kedat Moshe v'Yisrael. That's why the question is asked if you're using hefker beit din hefker, and that's what the Gemara says in the end. No, that the rabbanan are mishav shavua the bilato biladznut. On the other hand, you could argue that even in the case of the tznai, biyah, as we've seen before, overrides. Biyah is able to overcome tznaim, and maybe here too would overcome the tznai. But no, the Gemara says in the end, the person, even though we generally say, en adam isim biyato biyadznut, over here the Chachamim made it into a biyadznut. So, Rabbi Yehuda Mashmuel, halacha, ki Rabbi Eliezer, v'chein amar Rabbi Elazar, halacha, ki Rabbi Eliezer. So you have Amoraim and Bavel, Rabbi Yehuda Mashmuel saying the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer, ver Mishnah. And then you have Rabbi Elazar, an Amora of Eretz Yisrael, saying that the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer. And that actually raises the issue in our Mishnah, where in our Mishnah, the girsa is Eliezer. But you have on the side, the Besod HaShas brings down that maybe it should be Elazar. That would also depend on what you're suggesting over here. Is it halacha ki Rabbi Elazar or halacha ki Rabbi Eliezer? Who in our Mishnah says, Malabdim et ha-katanana shetimei. Rabbi Elazar is an Amora. They're talking about the Tana, Rabbi Eliezer. If the Girsa is Rabbi Elazar in the Mishnah, you'd have to switch this to also read Rabbi Elazar as the Locha Kiv Rabbi Elazar. Saying that that's part of this. Mesod HaShas changes the Girsa in the Mishnah, but doesn't change it over here, which is interesting. But it should be consistent, whatever they're saying over here. And what did Rabbi Elazar or Eliezer say in the Mishnah is, Melabdim et haktana shetima'in. We teach the Ktana to do Meyun in these cases in order to facilitate the Yibum. In order to allow the Yibum to go through. Again, this is only in cases, or generally we only do this in cases where we know for certain there will be Yibum. And number two is the Yibum is totally mutar. That's not even a questionable Yibum. It's a Yibum that would be a good Yibum, not with any issues, the Rabbanan, or any other suspicions about the Yibum. That's when we would tell the Ktana to be Mima'in in order to effectuate the Yibum, which is Do'uraita. All right, next Mishnah. Mi shana nasue l'shtei yitomot kitanot. There are individuals married to two minors that are orphans. Whether they're orphans because their father already married them off and they were divorced, or they're orphans because their father passed away. And just knowing that min haTorah, an orphan, or the definition of an orphan is someone's missing their father. Because in the Tochacha, it says that Hashem says, I will make your children orphans, and your wives widows. Well, if he's making their wives widows and the children orphans, it means that the wives are still alive. So you see the definition of Yatom in the Torah means that there's no father. So that's why over here, all these cases, the mother's marrying off the child, and she's still called a yitoma, is because yitom or yitoma is defined by the father. Okay, now it says, umeit, he passes away. Biata, uchalitzata shel echat mehen poteret zarata. The action of yibum or chalitza with one of these two girls will dismiss, will free the co-wife. So again, over here, they're both only married to him midrabanan. Since they're both married to midrabanan, we're going to give it the trappings of the normal situation that would be midoraita. If the women had both been married to him minatorah, the chalitza or biav, one of them, would dismiss the other. So to here, where they're both on the same level of marriage midrabanan, the biav or chalitza, one of them would dismiss the second. V'chen shtei charishot. And the same is true if you have two women who are charishot. Again, the level of the marriage for both of them is similar to the single husband, and therefore the action or activity of one will dismiss the other with their chalitza or yibum. But now, in a case where he's married to a ktana v'chereshet, both of these are kiddushim midrabanan, but as I mentioned in yesterday's daf, they're different levels of derabanan. They're not exactly alike, and that'll become obvious in the Gemara later today, that you have one marriage with a ktana and one marriage with a chereshet. So now they're not on the same level. Over there, one of them will not dismiss the other because you're talking about two different relationships. A relationship with the ktana and a relationship with the chereshet that are on a different level, and therefore one can't dismiss the other. Pikechet v'chereshet. When you have a case where you have a woman who's of sound mind, totally normal, and then a chereshet that's married. So one is a marriage midoraita, the other one is a marriage midrabanan. In that case, biata pikechet poteret achereshet. For sure, the yibum with the pikechet, or even chalitza with the pikechet, would dismiss the chereshet, because there you're consummating midoraita, the yibum, and for sure, the other party, which is only midrabanan, should be released in that case. But, ve'ein biat chereshet poteret et pikechet. On the other hand, the biat, the yibum of the chereshet, will not dismiss the pikechet, because she's only acting midrabanan. You still have the yibum doraita that applies to the woman who's married doraita. So the derabanan can't dismiss the yibum or the zikat yibum doraita that exists with the pikechet. Over here, it only mentions bia, not chalitza. So that's a question. Is it because chalitza would not be effective with the chereshet? And the only choice is bia? Or does it mean bia and then also mean, they're just giving you an example of bia, but it also would be true by chalitza. Dolag tana. By the case where you have one woman of age, one who's a minor that's married to him, then the same thing is true. Biata gdola poteret haktana. If there is biya done with the gdola, meaning yibum done with the gdola, the ktana is then freed through that. Vein biata ktana poteret haktana. For the same reason, the biya with the ktana, which is only midrabanan, can't release the woman who has a zikat yibum midoraita. Right, so now the Gemara says, based on, I noted you the question in the Mishnah, but v'chereshet bat chalitzahi? Since when can a chereshet have chalitza or perform chalitza over here? Our Mishnah indicates that the din by ktana is also true by a chereshet, which implies that chalitza would work by a chereshet. V'atznan, don't we have a Mishnah that we've seen? A cheresh shenechlatz, v'chereshet shechalitza, choletzet min hakatan, cheresh that had chalitza performed with him, or a chereshet that performed chalitza, or a katan that was involved in chalitza, chalitzata psula. No chalitza. Why? That we had in the Gemara. They argued about whether they're lacking de'a, they're not b'nei de'a, or they're lacking amira. They have the inability to do the kriyata parsha, which is me'akev. And therefore, no chalitza over here. No chalitza. Then what are you talking about in the Mishnah about a chereshet doing chalitza? She can't effectuate chalitza. So I'm Rav Gidol, Marav, Abia. That's what we're saying. When we say v'chein in the Mishnah, that they're the same as a ktanot, that means only in one aspect. The bia aspect of it. That means that if yibum is performed with one chereshet, the other one is released. But that's the only option. The only option is to perform yibum with her. There's no option to perform chalitza with her. Rav Amar, afilu tema chalitza. Even when you say v'chein chereshet, or chen chereshot, that also means bia or chalitza, yibum or chalitza. Kan becheresht mikara, kan bepikechet, v'achar kach nitchereshet. Depends on the nature of the chereshet. If she was always a chereshet, then there's one din. If she was a chereshet mi'ikara, kiheicha de'al hachin afak. Just the way that she was married, She got married. How did she get married? She got married through whatever mechanism the Rabbanan created for her. Well, the same way she got married with that mechanism, we'll release her through that same mechanism. So just like you can have kiddushin with the chereshet, whatever her issues are, then so too you can have chalitza with her, whatever her issues are. So if the marriage here is only a marriage that was established the Rabbanan because she was a chereshet, then when you divorce or you have chalitza here which releases her, that should still be just as effective as the kiddushin was originally, the chalitza will be effective now as well. On the other hand, if she was a pikechet, v'achar kach nichrasha, now you have a problem. Because in the case where she was a pikechet originally, then the marriage was done d'oraita. Then her change in status in the interim now leaves you in a bind because she can only be, quote-unquote, released d'rabanan, yet she has a marriage d'oraita. So how do you overcome that problem, the marriage d'oraita, when you can only act with her in a rabbinic level? And that's the difference. In the case where you're dealing with d'oraita and trying to release it through a d'rabanan level, there we say no chalitza for chereshet. On the other hand, in a case where she was a chereshet at the start and a chereshet in the end, there we say chalitza works for the chereshet. The Gemara here is not distinguishing between congenital deafness and deafness that was caused at a later point in time. They're not. But you could argue and you could see a difference there, because if cheresh, that the Mishnah uses all the time, means both deaf and mute, if the person was able to hear earlier on and then lost their hearing, they will be able to speak. They will be not be mute because they would have had the ability to, right, communicate and supposedly be b'nei de'ah, because there's a point in time where they could hear and they could understand. Again, that should affect the situation. Gemara says, pikechet ve'achar kach nitchasha, lo. Why is it by the case of pikechet and afterwards she's nitchasha? Demakva ba'kriya. Because there she can't do the kriya. Now again, if it's only kiddushin derabanan, and then she goes to chalitza derabanan, the same way that she couldn't talk before, couldn't hear before, she still was able to effectuate kiddushin, and the same way will effectuate the chalitza midrabanan. On the other hand, if she got married as a pikechet, she has full-fledged kiddushin midoraita, then when you're trying to perform chalitza, missing a piece of the puzzle, which is that you can't do the kriyata parsha, which we saw as me'akev, over there, now you have a serious problem, because she can't unwind it, and there we're not going to allow her to do chalitza. You're arguing now, Rova, that there's a distinction between a chereshet mi'ikara versus a pikechet mi'ikara, and then achar kach nitchasha. That differential that you just created to explain the difference in these two Mishnayot, the Mishnah earlier is talking about a pikechet that turned into chereshet, that's where a chalitza is not effective. Over here, our Mishnah is talking about a case where she was chereshet mi'ikara, therefore the chalitza is effective because the kiddushin derabanan can be unwound in a chalitza derabanan. Now he says, is that really true, that a chereshet mi'ikara can have chalitza? Va'atnan. We have a Mishnah coming up. Shnei achim, two brothers. Echad pikech v'echad cheresh. One of them is of sound mind, has no issues. The other one is a cheresh. Nisuin l'shtei nachriot, are married to two women who are independent of each other. Achat pikechet v'achat chereshet. And one of them is, again, they're matching. You have a pikeach married to a pikechet, and you have a cheresh married to a chereshet. Meit cheresh bal chereshet. If the cheresh passes away, ma yaseh pikeach bal pikechet. What should the other brother, who is a completely fine, normal, what can he do here? Kones, he can be kones. V'im ratza lotzi, yotzi. So he has a choice here. He has the choice. Yibum or yibum. That's his only choice over here. What happens if he doesn't want to marry this woman? Yibum, then get. That's the only way he can effectuate it. He cannot do chalitza. That's what implied by the Mishnah. The Mishnah says the only option is yibum or yibum. Why? What about the fact that he wants to release her? He has to do yibum, then give a get. If he wants to keep her, then he has yibum and keeps her. But the option for chalitza is not offered to him over here. So, meit pikeach bal pikechet. On the other hand, if the one of sound mind passes away, mayaseh cheresh bal chereshet, kones, veinu motzi de olam. He can marry her, but then he can't ever get rid of her. He can't release her after that. Because his get, as Rashi says over here, it's very important, en gito, which is a get from a cheresh, which is the Rabbanan, mafkia kidushe achim pikeach, shizkika lo le'ibum. The original brother's marriage is what generated the Yibum over here. The Yibum was generated through a Kiddushin de'oraita. That Kiddushin de'oraita survives the death of his brother. And this is what I've said in the past, that the Kiddushin of the original brother stays intact. And that carries over into the Yibum process. And that's why there's no need for Kiddushin when you are Miyabein. On the other hand, the Nisuin of his brother does not carry through. And the Yavam has to perform Nisuin, and that's why he needs Biyah to consummate. So here, this Cheresh is not the one establishing the marriage. That was established by his brother at a full-fledged, though, right? The level of Kiddushin. That Kiddushin carries through to the Yibum. Once it carries through the Yibum, he can't release her because he only has the ability to give a get midrabanan. He doesn't have the ability to give a get d'oraita to wipe out the Kiddushin d'oraita. So now, that case, he says, my love, becheresht mi ikara. Isn't that case on Kufyud Bet talking about a case of a chereshet that was always a chereshet? Bekatani, and there in that Mishnah, as I mentioned, it says koneis in koleitz lo. It says that you can do Yibum, but you cannot do chalitza. No, he says lo. Bepikechet v'achar kach nicharsha. No, that case over there is a case where she got married as a pikechet, and then he's trying to perform chalitza with her after that point when she's a chereshet. That's just not going to work. So then Rova dismisses Abaye's presumption that the Mishnah over there is talking about a case of chereshet mi'ikara, because there's no evidence in the Mishnah to say whether she is a chereshet mi'ikara or not. But Tashma, so Abaye pushes on and says, well, let's go on. There's another part of that Mishnah. There's a large Mishnah there. Shnei achim pikhin nisuin shtei nachriot. Two brothers who are completely normal, married to two women not related to each other. Achat pikechet v'achat chereshet. One of them, again, is normal. The other one is a chereshet. Mate pikeach bala chereshet. If the pikeach passed away, but he was the one married to the woman who was a chereshet, mayase pikeach bal pikechet. The one who has a normal, completely normal marriage, what should he do? Kones. He can do yibum. Bim rotze lotzi, yotzi. And then after that, he can divorce her. So again, he has two choices, yibum or yibum. That's all he can do. If he wants to do chalitza, he does yibum and then get. That's the only way he can effectuate it. Again, sounds like no chalitza over here. May pikeach bal pikechet. If the pikeach passes away, who's the totally normal marriage, may yaseh pikeach bal chereshet. What does the pikeach do who is married to this chereshet? O chuleitz o miyabein. Because as far as he is concerned, he's a pikeach. His interaction with this pikechet is an interaction to oraita. So he has the right to do yibum or chalitza over here. So my love, mi dehu pikeach mi kara, hi nami chereshet mi kara. Over here, it's clear that he's a pikeach mi'ikara, because all of his actions here are actions mi deoraita. So too over here, she is a chereshet mi'ikara. If that's the case, again, we're seeing no chalitza, yes, yibum. Uktani konei sin choleitz lo. Again, we have the same thing. Where it says mi deiria. Who says you have to say that? Hadagita v'adagita. Yes, the husband is a pikeach and a pikeach all the way through. The woman is a chereshet, but not a chereshet mi'ikara similar to him, but rather a pikechet that turned into a cheresh. And again, you can't prove anything against Rova. Etave, so we keep continuing with that Mishnah. Shnei achim, echad pikeach v'echad cheresh. Two brothers, one's a pikeach, one's a cheresh. Nisuim shtei achayot. Married to two sisters here. That's different than the case before. Before we had shtei nachriot, two unrelated women. Here they have two sisters. Echad pikechet v'echad chereshet. One is a pikechet, one's a chereshet. They match similar types. The pikeach marries the pikechet, the cheresh marries the chereshet. Make cheresh bal chereshet. If the cheresh passes away, may say pikeach bal pikechet. The husband of the pikechet, what does he do with the chereshet? Who is his yivama? They say mishum achotisha. She goes free without anything. They are sisters. This is an erva. Achotishto is an erva. She's dismissed the gamre. The marriage of the pikeach to the pikechet is deoraita. The other marriage is only dirabanan. Here this woman falls to him, midirabanan. He has a doraita marriage that would dismiss her as a chotishto. She goes without anything. The question's the other way. Meit pikeach, bal pikechet. But on the other hand, if the one whose marriage was doraita passes away, mayaseh cheresh, bal chereshet. What does the cheresh, the husband of the cheresh, do over here? He has a marriage, midirabanan, to this woman. That's a chotishto, midirabanan, but his yivama, doraita. Midirabanan, this woman is his yivama. Right, so that's the only relationship here. Midrabanan, it's achot ishto. Now you have this clash between achot ishto midrabanan and yivum deoraita. Motzit ishto beget, he divorces his wife. Veishet achiv asura deolam. And his brother's wife is asura deolam and the yivama is asura deolam. Because over here, he loses both of them. He loses both of them because number one, he can't remain married. Because he has a Yevama. His Zika of the Yevama is causing him a problem. It's Achot Zekukato. His wife is Achot Zekukato. On the other hand, once he divorces his wife, then he can't perform Yibum with the other woman because that looks like Achot Grushato. Even though it's only the Rabbanan, still looks like Achot Grushato. We're not going to marry her. He can only perform Chalitza. So he can only do Chalitza with her, and he's stuck. Tosfot earlier in the Masech to discuss why doesn't the Mishnah over there say Oilo Alishto, Oilo Yivimto, which we saw earlier. Tosfot's answer is it depends if it's in your control or not. Over here, it's he caused the problem because he got involved with the Chereshet, and then that generated the whole problem. So there we don't say Oilo. In the case that we mentioned in our Mishnah earlier, where we said Oilo was did nothing wrong, and this happened to him, it's really not in his control. Alright, so you're going to see over here, the case of the cheresh is the case where he's a pikeach and then turned into cheresh, mi matzi mapik. If that's the case, then how could he divorce in that situation? Because in that situation, he would have been married deoraita in the original sense, because he was a pikeach originally, and then he would have been fully married. Then how can they just dismiss this woman? Because you have a marriage deoraita, and now you're left with a Cheresh, who's trying to divorce this woman, midrabanan. How can he get rid of his wife if he's married to her doraita and he's trying to give her a get, midrabanan? So it must be, in that case, that he was a pikeach all the way through, or he was a cheresh all the way through. Vatzna, nitchasha, yutzi. If a woman originally was a pikechet, and then nitchasha, yutzi, he can divorce her. Nishtatit, if she loses her mind after he was married to her, lo yotzi, he cannot divorce her. This creates very, very difficult situations in which if the woman really loses her mind and then is mentally incapacitated, that the husband cannot divorce her, and then you're stuck under the cherem de Rabbeinu Gershom that he can't remarry. Over here is one of the few times that we invoke the principle of heter meir rabbonim because of the situation. The situation is so difficult and untenable that we allow the heter meir rabbonim to divorce this woman and then go out and marry another woman. So then, why is it when she's nishtatet lo yotzi? So Rashi tells us that later on, we're going to see this in the Gemara, even though a woman can be divorced against her will, a woman can be divorced bal korcha because he can give the get. As long as she gets the get, then it's fine. As long as she can be shomer gita, which means that she can accept the get, but that doesn't mean that she physically has to accept it, even if she has property. Or he can get into her possession where it's shamor, he can divorce her even against her will. So why, by the case of nishtatit, can he not divorce her? It's because, the Chachamim said that the get here is not effective because this woman cannot take care of herself. She cannot take care of herself. If he divorces her, she's going to be on her own. If she's on her own, then we're afraid that people are going to take advantage of her. So in order to keep her protected, we force the marriage to stay intact so that the husband will take care of this woman. So that's how they ensure that there was a guardian for this woman. They kept the marriage intact. Now, when there's no cherem de Rabbeinu Gershom, it's not an issue. You take another woman, you can marry to another woman and still be married to this woman. Once you have a cherem de Rabbeinu Gershom, that presents a problem in the modern era because of that. And then, nitchareshu o nishtateh. Another end, if he became a cheresh or he became a shoteh, lo yotzi olamit. Can't do anything. Marriage doraita. He has to give a get. He doesn't have the capacity to give a get anymore. Either because he's a cheresh or because he's a shoteh now, he doesn't have the ability to give a get. Only a get midrabanan. A get midrabanan can't unwind kiddushin doraita. So if that's the case, elalav, v'cheresh mikara, it must be that in our case over here, he was a cheresh all the way along. Omedu cheresh mikara, hinami chereshet mikara. Just like he's a cheresh originally, she too must be a cheresh mi ikara. So now, why does the Gemara not answer over here? No. Had kiita, like they said before. Because before, we were talking about two different individuals, two different parties. Over there, you could say had kiita. Over here, you're talking about a cheresh marrying the chereshet. They're in the same grouping, they're in the same terminology he's using. There, it's harder to say, or it's much more about had kiita. The Gemara says, now, let's extrapolate. Now that we know that this, midachayot chereshot miikara, chereshot miikara, that case for the sisters that we just established was chereshot miikara, nachriot nami, chereshot miikara. Also that case by nachriot, where they weren't related, that was also chereshot miikara. Vitznan gabi nachriot, and by the case where they were not relatives originally, it says kones in choleitz lo. There it says, you can have yibum, you cannot have chalitza. Ishtik. Abaye finally got to Rava. Oh, you're right. That this Mishnah, he can't explain this Mishnah that way. Now, Kiyata, the Kamei de Rav Yosef, once he came before Rav Yosef. This is Abaye and Rava. Although there is a change in the gears, so the Bach changes the gears, so to Rabba, you'll see because of the conclusion of the situation over here. In that conclusion, it says Rabba, which would indicate the original question was to Rava. But either way, they all interact, meaning that Rabba is a peer of Rav Yosef, and Rava is a peer of Abaye. So Abaye is the one challenging over here, either challenging Rava or Rabba. Then he comes in front of Rav Yosef, his Rebbe. So he says, Amalei, my time o totzvei meha. Why didn't you ask the question from there? Because he could answer you. He could say there that the cases in the Mishnah are different. You're right. In that single case, you're right that the both cherishot are cherishot miikara because the cherish was miikara. But in the case before, where it talked about a chereshet, maybe that case was different. And I was talking about a chereshet who was pikechet originally and then turned into a chereshet. So then he has an answer for you. Ela ibaylach letvui meha. You should have asked him from this Mishnah, which is Shnei Achin Cherishin Nisuin Shtei Achayot Pikchot. You have two brothers who are Cherishim married to two sisters who are completely normal. O Shtei Achayot Cherishot, or two sisters that are Cherishot. O Shtei Achayot, or two sisters, Echad Pikechet VeEchad Chereshet, where one is a Pikechet, one is a Chereshet. So in that case, all of those Kiddushin are Derabanan because you're dealing with two Cherishim. Since each one of them is a cherish, by definition, both kiddushin are derabanan. V'chein shtei achayot cherishot nisuot l'shnei achim pikhin, or two cherishot that are married to two brothers that are completely normal. Again, they're both are kiddushin derabanan. O l'shnei achim cherishin, or two brothers that are cherishin, they're again only kiddushin derabanan. O l'shnei achim echad pikeach v'echad cherish, or to one that is a pikeach, one is a cherish. All of those cases, harelu pturot min achalitza u'min hayibum. Because there we're dealing with marriage derabanan and sisters derabanan. Erva mi derabanan, kiddushin mi derabanan. They'll function like we would in normal cases of yibum, which is erva dismisses the need for yibum. It's achot ishto. And achot ishto goes out without anything. So too over here at the rabbinic level.
It's not related to pikeach.
Yeah, but the reason is that they're on the same level. They're sisters that both have marriages derabanan. If one had a marriage go right, that'd be a different situation. It's because all these marriages are derabanan. If they were not related, yichnosu, then they can perform yibum. Where's the other option? Chalitza over here. Why only yibum? Vimratzu lotzi, yotzia. Again, two options. Yibum or yibum. Those are only two options. He wants to get rid of her. Then yibum with get. No chalitza mentioned over here. Hey, chidami. Ilayim ha-pikchim alusof nitchashuv. Yidayim ha-pikchim and they afterwards became chashuv. Mi matzi mafke. How can he divorce her over here? He was married to her though, right? He's trying to get divorced. Meet the Rabbanan. It doesn't work. Fatanan. Don't we have a Mishnah? Nishtateit lo yotzi, nitchareish hu nishtate lo yotzi olamit. So again, if she became nitchareish, he can't be motzi her. Nishtateit, he cannot divorce her. If he's nitchareish or nishtate, he can't give a get at all. Elalav, acharishin meikara. Aren't we dealing with the case where these guys are definitely cherishin from a start? Umehein cherishin miikara, inunami cherishot miikara. Just like they are, so too the women are. Viktani, and that Mishnah says, im hayu nachriot yichnosu, that in the case when they were not related, you can have yibum, yichnosu in, yichaltsu lo. You can have yibum, you cannot have chalitza, tiyufta. Now here it says, deraba, tiyufta. This is a strong refutation of that position of Rabba based on the Mishnah later on. So again, if Rabba's over here, you'd have to change the gears earlier on that it was Rabba and not Rava who had this position, and therefore it's consistent. But either way, Rav Yosef brings the Mishnah or the idea, the question that would trump over here. That even when you have a Chereshet Mikara, you cannot perform Chalitza. And that's what we just proved. No Chalitza here, even though she was a Chereshet Mikara. Okay, Ktana v'Chereshet. Amar Rav Nachman Ashkachte l'Rav Ada Bar Ava u'l'Rav Chano Chatnei. Found Rav Ada bar Ava and his son-in-law Rav Chano. Diatve, they were sitting. V'kamekavu akvata. So now they were, Rashi says over here, makilim talmidim svivam. They got gathered together students around them. Lishna Achrina, Rashi says, the mak'u akahata with an hay in it. Shemeshivim kushiyot zelazeh. They were back and forth, questioning, answering, questioning, answer. The hakeshina that we use by the Seder, by the Rasha. Which is, you give him an answer. Okay, chinav means give him a strong answer. So questions and answers back and forth about the kiha or keha, which means that they're strong positions between each other. So that's either kavu akvata. I was wondering because of the word mikveh. Mikveh and akvata, aqua. I don't know if it has something like that. Gathering of water, which is the same thing over here. They were gathering talmidim together. I don't know if there's some connection between the words or not. So they were kavu akvata b'shuka de pumptita. They were teaching Torah there in the marketplace of pumptita of Amrei. Hadetznan ktana v'chereshet ein biyat achat mehem puteret sarata. In the case by the Ketana and Chereshet in our Mishnah, we said that if they're co-wives, one does not dismiss the other. Hani mili denafle lemi achiv pikeach. That is when the brother is a pikeach. Dolo yadina ibi Ketana nechle, ibi Chereshet nechle. Because then we don't know which one of them is more appealing to him. Meaning, is it the Ketana or the Chereshet? Ibi Ketana nechle, the Ache lechlal deya. The Ketana is more likely to be appealing because she eventually will grow up to be a woman of age. Because she's already of age now, she's more mature. Ubat biyahi, and therefore she is a good person to have intimacy with. Aval naflami achiv cheresh. If they came from his brother was a cheresh, vaday be cheresh nechadei. Then for sure the cheresh would be more appealing to him. Debat biyahi ubat minehi, because over there she is similar to him. Which is, she is similar to him, and she's a bat bia. V'aminu lehu ana, and I said to them, afilu nafla le me achiv cheresh, nami misfekele. Even if it came from his brother was a cheresh, the safek still exists over here. Now what safek is it that exists over here? Which one is more appealing to him? Is it the ktana that's more appealing to him, or the cheresh that's more appealing to him? So therefore we don't know whether the bia of one of them will dismiss the other. Ketza taknatan. So what do you do here? So the verse says, "Amar Rav Chista, Amar Rav koneis hachereshet umotziyah beget." He says he marries or does yibum with the chereshet and then divorces her. V'ktana tatim adshin takdil v'tachlotz. Tana, you wait until she grows up and then you do chalitza with her, and therefore you release both parties over here. Amar Rav Chista, shmaminah kasaver Rav chereshet knuya umishiyaret. Tana knuya veina knuya. That when it comes to the kinyanim of a chereshet and ktana, they're different in nature. So this is very important. And Tosfot over here points out that they didn't have a question here about whether a Cheresh and a Ketana are the same Kinyan. They knew that a Cheresh and a Ketana are not the same level of Kinyan. The question was, which one was better? Which one had the stronger Kinyan? From Rav's statement over here, from what we brought from Rav, we realized that the Cheresh has a much stronger relationship than that of the Ketana. And therefore, the Cheresh has a Kinyan, umishiyuaret. Mishiyuaret means that she's granted a Kinyan midrabanan. Not that there's something left over in the Kinyan, but it's only a Kinyan derabanan. They empowered her as much as they could midrabanan, that she has a Kinyan. On the other hand, a Ketana has a Kinyan midrabanan as well, but that Kinyan is not a full Kinyan because she can be mimayin. She can reject it and unwind it. So obviously it's not a full Kinyan midrabanan. So therefore, you have a safek here, and as Rashi quotes it, Tana safek knuya kula, safek ina knuya kula. It's a question of whether the Kinyan is a full Kinyan or not a Kinyan at all. So that's why there you have a safek about whether there's any effective Kinyan. But the Chereshe, we know it's a Kinyan. We just know that it's also not a full-fledged Kinyan over here. Because if you think that by the Chereshe it's a safek, Ketana knuya mishiyaret, Chereshe amai koneis omotziyah biget. In that instance, why does he perform yibum with the Chereshe and then give her a get? Teitev gabei mimonav shach. She can stay married to him mimonav shach. Iknu yahi, haknu yahi. If he has a full-fledged kinyan over here, then he can stay married to her permanently, because if it's a full-fledged kinyan midrabanan, then that's better than the kinyan that is associated with the ktana, which was only a leftover kinyan, and he can stay married to her. Ilav knu yahi. If there is no real kinyan over here, hanachrit ba'almahi. Then she is just an outsider, because the original marriage was also done in the same way. And therefore there's no kinyan. There was no marriage originally. She's not a co-wife to this Tana. She's not really a co-wife. So when he marries her, he's marrying a third party. No problem. All right. We're going to stop here on the top of Kuf Yud Amud Chaf Aleph, the third line down. The Gemara is now going to reverse that question and say, well, just like you just said that by Chereshet, you can invoke this principle of either yes or no. Black and white, you can do the same thing by the Ketana, and then even when you concluded what Rav's position is, why don't you have the same problem in reverse?